Welcome to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. If you want to create change in any area of your life, you're in the right place. Together, we'll explore the strategies and tools I've used to lose over 100 pounds, pay off $130,000 in debt, and become a multiple seven-figure business owner. I've supported thousands of women to levels of execution and fulfillment they didn't know were possible. So if you're frustrated, if you're doubting yourself, if you're not enjoying the journey, there's a better way. Together, we'll break through your past patterns. We'll eliminate the appeal of your excuses so you can get consistent, stay consistent, create the results you want, and most importantly, enjoy the journey. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Hope you are having an amazing day today. We are about to go on vacation, which can't wait to fill you guys in on how that goes. It will be our first time flying with all three kids. We flew with Roman a lot when he was a baby, but two adults with three kids under two should be interesting, especially because we're not all sitting together. Apparently, this was news to me. In case you've got young kids or grandkids and you didn't know this, infant oxygen masks are only on one side of the plane, at least on Delta. And so when there's a lot of infant in arms on the flight, the seating gets sort of modified accordingly because the people with infant in arms have to be on the left. So that means that there aren't three seats that we can like move people around and put together. So somebody is going to have one of the twins and Roman, and then somebody else will be sitting by themselves with one of the twins, which should be interesting. I think the twins are going to be way easier to fly with than Roman at this age because he's almost two, and getting him to sit for a few hours, yeah, wish us luck. By the time this airs, well, actually, if you have any last-minute tips, message me on Instagram, at Elizabeth Benton, because, yeah, they'll still be in time. All right, let's talk about all that we're going to talk about. Somebody sent in a question about stopping constant food chatter in your mind. Like, I'm always thinking about food, always thinking about the next thing to eat. So we're going to talk about that. Somebody asked a question about how I repaired my relationship with my mom. If you don't know what that means, we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. Somebody asked a question about what supplements I can't live without. So we will talk about that. Oh, and then there was a question about training your mind from away from looking forward to a binge, planning for a binge, like that excitement around overeating. So we'll talk about that too. But the first thing I want to do is tell you what we are giving away today. We're giving this one away because I had it in my Instagram stories a few times and it generated a lot of questions. And actually, this particular thing recently got a patent and won an award. It's called Kids Mood. And I personally take it myself, even though I'm not a kid anymore, but I also give it to Roman. The twins are still too young, but once they start eating solid foods, we'll introduce it a few months after that. So it's like a pixie stick. You take it like a pixie stick. If you're not listening to this in the US or somebody who doesn't know what pixie sticks are, it's like a powder that you put directly in your mouth. I put it on Roman's high chair tray and he just like dips his finger in it and puts it in his mouth and keeps him occupied, which I really love. Number one, he likes it. Number two, it's good for him. Number three, it buys me 10 minutes or more to do something else without him saying, "Mama, up with mama." But I take it for a couple reasons. Number one, it's an adaptogen, so it helps with our body's stress response. Number two, it's like this sweet treat that I look forward to. If I'm craving something sweet, I go for Kids Mood. I really like it. Like, I think it's yummy, which, to be perfectly honest, is probably as much of a reason why I take it as the fact that it helps with stress and taking the edge off, which I really need right now because sometimes I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. So that is what we are giving away today. I will announce the winner at the end of the show. All you have to do to be eligible to win is leave a review of this podcast on whatever app you listen. And what was I going to say? Oh, I'll also put the link to Kids Mood in the show description if you're curious about it. It's all natural ingredients. Like, one of the primary ones is saffron, which is, you might have heard of, like saffron rice that makes the rice that bright yellow color. There's actually a ton of research on saffron and the other natural herbal ingredients in here that help with things like hyperactivity. I'm obsessed. with kids' mood. In fact, it goes out of stock a lot because it's so popular. And the recent research around it just made it kind of fly. But I have some because I stock up so we don't run out for Roman. So I'm going to give it away. I'm going to give away a whole box at the end of the show. Let's start with, and my sweet mom is probably listening to this episode, so I'm sure she's like groaning a little as she hears this question. How did you repair your relationship with your mother? So to give a little backstory, if you have not read Chasing Cupcakes, which is my first book, when I was a kid, I was a really, really overweight kid. My mom was not overweight at all. My sister was not overweight at all. And my mom did not want me to be overweight for a number of reasons. Largely, she didn't want me to have a more difficult childhood, right? She didn't want me to have health issues. She didn't want me to have social challenges. And so she was really determined to help me get healthy. And as I got older, I also really wanted to. I wanted to lose weight. The thing is, there weren't a lot of resources, and there still are not a lot of resources around supporting your kid in weight loss without like doing it in a really unhealthy or damaging way. And so she had really great intentions, but a lot of her tactics just didn't land well and created some food issues in a young kid who then learned to associate food with weight versus food with health, and also a lot of shame around food and around body weight. And it was really tough. It was tough. And it wasn't just tough for me. It was also really tough for her. Tough for her to know what to do, tough for her to see me getting heavier and feel powerless. And I'm sure she had in the back of her mind, like, I hope I'm not doing damage to my kid. But at the same time, I know that her overeating and overindulging and being really overweight is damaging her health. So how did we repair that relationship? Because what it created was a lot of avoidance, a lot of fear of judgment. When I went to college, I didn't want to come home. Like, I missed my family, but I felt that if I hadn't lost weight or if I had gained weight, which was often the case, that I didn't want her to see that and I didn't want her to know that. One thing that really helped me and still helps me, especially since having kids, but even before having my own kids, her intentions were good. She wasn't trying to hurt me. She never wanted to hurt me. This woman loves me more than she loves herself and her own life. She really genuinely wanted me to be healthy and happy. So her methods were jacked up, but her heart was in the right place. And it wasn't she was choosing destructive methods because she didn't care. She was just trying things when other things didn't work. So there's a book called The Four Agreements, and one of the agreements is make no assumptions, right? So I certainly was not and am not in her head, but I will not assume that she was being mean about it. She was coming from a place of deep love and care, and some of it was ego-driven, right? She's been on the show and shared that. She felt like having an overweight kid was a reflection on her as a parent. She didn't like that, but that's still coming from a good place. That's not coming from a bad place. That's a very reasonable thing, in the same way that I want Roman to behave well when we're out, because if he's a wild man, I feel that that is a reflection on me as a human. Or if my kids, you know, look crazy or aren't dressed appropriately. You know, there's so many things that we think of that. So it's a very human response. Giving her the benefit of the doubt is huge. I'm in this Facebook group for one of my streams of income that I spend a fair amount of time and effort working on. And there was recently a conversation where a woman posted something like, hey, this person I know posted this. I think it's about me. She said it wasn't, but like, here's all the reasons that I think it is. And it was this immediate pile on. Everyone was like, oh my God, that's horrible. That's awful. That's this, this, that. And I'm like, you guys are all assuming the worst of this person. You are assuming the least charitable interpretation of her actions, the least charitable interpretation of her intentions. What a miserable way to live. So I think when we interpret people's actions and when we interpret people's intentions, number one, making no assumptions is very valuable. So in this case of this post that I saw, like, don't assume it was about you. That's just not a charitable assumption. But also, let's give it the most charitable interpretation possible, which is, you know, for my mom, she loved me. She wanted me to be happy and healthy. She wanted to be able to help me in the same way that all moms want to help their kids. Give the most charitable interpretation. I think in this day and age, so many people are giving folks the least charitable interpretation. And it's something that the book that I mentioned last week talked about, The Coddling of the American Mind. Let's give the most charitable interpretation. My mom would stop her whole life for me. My mom has stopped her whole life for me. When Dagny died, when I was hospitalized before the twins were born, you know, when I was in the NICU with the girls for over 3 months and had Roman at home, like, this is someone, and those are recent examples, but even when I was a kid, if something happened with me, she would have stopped her whole life and would want to stop her whole life to help me. It was coming from love, you know, and like, let's laugh about it. Come on, I'm 40. It's okay. You know, like, we can get past it. I'm not going to hang on to something that happened when I was 7. I'm just not. And look, that doesn't mean that you have to operate that way or that something that happened to you when you're 7 isn't dramatically more intense and severe. When I talk about my approach to me, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that should be your approach to you. But that's just what it looked like and what it continues to look like in my life. Before we get into the food chatter and talking yourself into a binge, that sort of stuff, a couple other questions that came in, and on Saturdays I like to address your questions. What are the supplements you can't live without? Obviously, this is more figurative than literal because if I don't take it, I'm not going to drop dead. We'll think of it in terms of like my favorite supplements that I don't want to live without, that I would be devastated if they were suddenly not available. I would say hands down the first one. Oh, that's tough to say hands down, but like, okay, what comes to mind immediately as the number one is Relief Plus. I've talked about it a ton here. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory, and inflammation is the starting point of basically every disease that we know of. Cognitive diseases, cellular diseases, all of those things begin with an out-of-control inflammatory response. So Relief is the one that comes to mind. Do not look for it on Amazon. It's not on Amazon. I always have people show me their Amazon carts. This one, right? No, it's not on Amazon. I'll link it up in the show description so that you don't waste your money on something that might have a similar or same name. But that is an all-natural anti-inflammatory. It's not like Chris has bad elbows. He has tendonitis in his elbows. So he takes it like for that, but inflammation does not necessarily mean headache, knee pain, elbow pain. Inflammation is always happening in our body in ways that we don't feel. So I take it every day for things that I don't feel. Now, if I had a headache, I'd take a little extra. If I have menstrual cramps, I'll take a little extra, but that would be number one. Number two would be the couple of probiotics that I take, because the microbiome, which is the sort of ecosystem of bacteria in our bodies, impacts anxiety, depression, weight, metabolism, mood, immunity, literally everything. And I think a lot of people think, well, if I eat a lot of veggies or I have some kombucha or some kimchi, no, because you don't know what strains are in that and if they're the right strains that your body needs for these specific areas. So I don't play around with the microbiome. There's two different probiotic products that I take every single day. I would not want to live without those. And then I would say, oh, it's so tough. If you ask me on another day, I might have a different answer. But today I would say it's mood and kids' mood. I talked about kids' mood at the top of the show. Because they both function in the same way in that they're adaptogens, helping your body adapt to different physical, emotional, psychological stressors. Stress kills. Stress creates hormonal dysregulation, not to mention just the unpleasant experience of feeling on edge. But those two help me so much, in large part probably because of the season of life that I'm in. I can escalate pretty quickly when I've got 3 kids screaming and I'm trying to cook dinner and I still have work I need to do. And so those things really help me feel like they take the edge off. I go from feeling physically tense in my body, teeth clenched, jaw clenched, to being like, okay, I got this. It's loud, it's annoying, but I got this. So that's what I would say. But again, if you ask me in a week, I might have a different answer, but not on the first couple ones. I will link those up in the show description as well. All right. Let's go to the food stuff. How do you untrain your mind when it always looks forward to a binge, which you'll obviously beat yourself up for the moment that it ends? So you feel like your mind is trained to look forward to a binge. I get that. I actually wrote about that in Chasing Cupcakes. So if you haven't read Chasing Cupcakes, that could be a really powerful resource. I've also done several episodes of the podcast on binge eating. In fact, let me pull them up right now so that I can tell you what numbers they are. And let me tell you how I search for episodes in case it's helpful. I type in primalpotential.com:, and then the keyword. Now, that only shows you episodes where I've done show notes for, and I haven't done show notes in a couple years, so it's not going to show you more recent episodes, but it's still going to search through like 700 episodes at least. So primalpotential.com:binge. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. 148, 148, 534, 527, but I would start with 148. 148, 534, and 527. There's obviously more, but those are, I would start with 148 and Chasing Cupcakes. So aside from those resources, when you talk yourself into a binge, understand that what you're doing is you're convincing yourself, right? You're convincing yourself, and the way that it used to look for me is like, I'm going to get it out of my system, or I deserve it because I've been so good lately. One day doesn't really make a difference. There are all of these different ways in which we convince ourselves to choose this pattern of behavior, to go down this road. There is the way to convince yourself not to. And you just have to practice that. And you can do it in sort of a stakes are low. I'm not in the moment. I'm not currently actively talking myself into a binge, but I'm maybe like taking a shower. I'm driving down the road and I'm just thinking, or I'm laying in bed at night. My mind is wandering. If I were to talk myself out of binge eating, how might I do that? Again, this is not happening in the moment where you're battling this urge to binge, but you know, it's just a neutral moment where you have a few minutes to think. If I were to make a case against binging, how would I do that? And you start to practice talking yourself out of it, and then those thoughts become more familiar to you. So if I were to talk myself out of a binge, it's never really worth it. Like, I'm never choosing food that's level 10, the best food. It's more convenience, and it's not really things that I super, super enjoy. I'm not savoring the food. It's more frenetic and rushed, and I don't want to eat that way. Like, if I'm going to have something I really love, I want to savor it, you know? And typically, if I'm really paying attention, I don't want 6 cupcakes. Like, I'm good after one. Plus, that behavior doesn't reflect who I want to be. And it's really unhealthy to overburden my body like that. And it makes me crave more things. So if the situation is that I want to indulge, well, I can indulge in a way that's not binging. So what would that look like? I can indulge without overindulging. Maybe I need to get more comfortable and more practiced in that. What could that look like? How could I try that on? And I would do it in a situation where it makes it easy to not overeat. So if it was something like ice cream, I'm going to go out for ice cream and get a cup of ice cream versus buying ice cream and then having to bring it home and moderate how much of it that I eat. Or I'm going to go out to a bakery and buy a cupcake and come home and eat it instead of making cupcakes and then having 24 of them in the kitchen. That sort of thing. I would make a case for not binging. The other thing that this comes down to, and we talked about it recently in the Consistency 365 series, is this notion of one of the most common cognitive distortions is dichotomous thinking, or all or nothing. That if I'm gonna indulge, I'm gonna overeat. Right? It's got to be a binge because, well, since I'm doing it, might as well get it all out of my systems. I'm gonna start fresh tomorrow. We talk about this a lot in the consistency course, overcoming this all or nothing mentality. So that might be a skill set and a tool that you really need to develop. But ultimately, it's about what you talk yourself into and out of, and you can get better at another perspective, another conversation in your own mind. Somebody else asked, how do I overcome the constant food chatter in my mind? Well, here's the thing about food. We eat all the time, right? I mean, I had breakfast an hour ago. I'm going out to lunch with my friend in a couple of hours. When I get home from lunch with my friend, I'm going to be thinking about what I'm going to do for dinner. And if Roman needs a snack, and if Roman's having a snack, am I going to have a snack? Am I hungry? I don't think that the constant food chatter is necessarily a problem unless you don't feel in control of it. So how can you think about food? And of course, everybody defines constant differently, but how can you think about food in a way that isn't reactive or agitated or dramatic? Because I think about food a lot. When I wake up, I'm thinking about if I'm hungry. I'm thinking about coffee. I'm thinking about what Roman's going to have for breakfast. I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for breakfast. And then I'm going to think about cleaning up from breakfast. Like, a lot of it is very normal. What's not normal is when you don't feel in control or when you're really in drama about it and in this like, should I or shouldn't I or whatever. So becoming a better thinker, becoming a more strategic and calm thinker is a massive component of consistency. And a lot of times that's slowing down and reminding yourself that it doesn't need to be dramatic. There's nothing wrong with thinking about food. Are you hungry? Slow down and don't panic when these thoughts arise. Am I hungry or do I just want to eat? If I want to eat, cool. It's going to be time to eat soon. I'm just going to wait until I'm hungry. Calm down. So much improves if you can just take a breath and freaking relax a little bit. In the consistency course, we talk a lot about not being so dramatic, being a more mature thinker. And that looks like a lot of things, but it looks like telling the whole truth and not some emotionally loaded corner of the truth. It looks like being proactive and less reactive. It looks like a lot of things, but it's a skill that you can build. And I would say the first step to building that skill is just calming down. Okay, I'm thinking about food. Is that a problem? No. Do I need to necessarily act on it? No. Am I hungry? No. Okay. And then the other thing is, have other stuff going on that you're excited about in your life. This is one that I still have to work a lot on because I'm an introvert by nature. I can stay very, very, very busy at home. But maybe it's joining a gym or joining a church or starting a new book that you like or a gardening hobby. Start to put things in your life that you look forward to. There's this quote that floats around social media a lot that says something like, do more of things that make you forget to check your phone. Right? And I think about that as it applies to food, like do more of things that make you disconnect from the idea of food, whether that's like you're bowling with your friends or you're out on a walk or you're starting a garden. I mean, any number of things. But I think that's a component of this too. The biggest component though is calm down, slow down, calm down, slow down. All right, the winner today of Kids Mood, which I'll also link up in the show description, be to do today. I think that's what that says. It could be todo today. I don't know. Be to do today, I think, is what it is. Email me, elizabeth@primalpotential.com. Email me within 60 days of this episode airing. Let me know that you are the winner for 1080 and include your full mailing address so that I can get Kids Mood out to you. Everybody have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow.